Turn over to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 1. If you guys have been at church for more than a minute, you know this verse. I love this verse. I still hear pages flipping. That's why you need a glowing Bible. You just click, 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 boom. Click, click, boom. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. Now faith is the substance. Everybody say substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, with the evidence of things not yet seen. Not yet seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So that the things which we are seeing were not made by things that are visible. How many know that there is a more real world than what you contact? There is a more real world that created the world that we are presently in. If you guys are taking notes this morning, I'm titling this, Prove It. Prove it. If you guys would be so kind to bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, Father. I thank you, Father, for your grace and your love and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to share my heart with my family, Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much. You're so amazing, Lord. Your grace is more than I could ever imagine, Jesus. Lord, that I could come up here and I can minister to people that have been put into my life so much, Jesus. Your grace is amazing. Your grace is amazing. In your mighty name, amen and amen. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking on the subject of faith. We're a woof church, word of faith. Woof, woof, woof. And so this is essential for what we believe here by His Word. And I believe what we believe in the congregation, the body of Christ. You have to have faith. You have to. You absolutely have faith. You know, growing up, I grew up here, but some of my fondest memories are my childhood growing up. I loved my childhood. I grew up in a huge family, 6 kids. We were all crazy. We just punched each other all the time. Just like, forget you. And we just punched each other. And we didn't even need cable. That's boring. I'm going to wrestle with my brothers. And so I grew up with a pretty cool childhood, and some of my fondest memories are actually at elementary school. Anybody miss elementary school? For me, it wasn't so long ago. For some of you, it was a while ago. I'm not saying how long ago, but they haven't yet invented a wheel for some of you. You had to walk to school because there was no cars. So... anyways, for some of you, it's been a while. But I loved my childhood. I loved playing with my elementary school friends. I loved the smell of the elementary. Anybody? Anybody go back to an elementary recently? They all smell exactly the same, don't they? To the T. I can go to any elementary school, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Shining Mountain. That's where I went, Shining Mountain Elementary. Ooh. Rams. Yeah, Shining Mountain. And I go to any elementary school, and they all smell exactly the same. And so it brings me right back to elementary school. I loved it. And so you go in, all the fruit, food smells the same, because most of it is the same. Like they're still working on that same case of like Hot Pockets and stuff. And then since I was a kid. And so the smells are the same. The teachers are the same. Actually, Mr. Menifee, his wife was my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Menifee, and I love that lady. And I love going to school. I love seeing Mrs. Menifee. I love just coming in and smelling all the smells. But my favorite thing. Oh, you already know where I'm going. And if somebody says lunch, forget you. That was my second favorite thing. I also enjoyed lunch. And breakfast and brunch and dinner and dinner. I love food. And so, my favorite thing was actually recess. Oh my gosh. It was amazing. You're at school, you're there to learn, and you're playing on monkey bars. I'm learning. You go play on some monkey bars. It's awesome. I loved it. But you get bored after a little while, especially as guys. You get bored. You can only play on the monkey bar so many times. You can only, like, you know, hit the girl so many times and run away. Cooties! I was a stud in elementary school. Don't make any mistake. I was awesome. And so, recess. And so you get bored after a while. And so what do? You get with your chums, your pals, your buckaroos, and you get together, and then you start to throw down the challenges. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I bet I could beat you in a race. Nuh-uh. Like, yeah, dude, I could run around this whole school 30 seconds. No problem. Like, oh, yeah, I could run around it in 20 seconds. Oh, yeah, I could do it in 10. And so all these challenges start to go out, and all these different phrases start to go out. You're like, oh, yeah, I could do this. Oh, yeah. And then your buddy throws out the challenge. Oh, yeah? Well, then prove it. If you say you can do it, if you're so confident in it, then prove yourself. Do it. Put your money where your mouth's at. I don't have any money. I'm like 4. Well, then don't put your money where your mouth's at. Put your hot pocket where your mouth's at. I had hot pockets. And so that's what happens. And we actually begin to build this trend as we grow up, right? I'll believe it when I see it. You say you can do those things. You say you can make a portfolio in a week. I don't know what a portfolio is. Do you make a portfolio? Is that true? I fix toilets. I have no idea what a computer is. But it's a good life. It's a good life. I don't know. So, but anyways, you start to throw out these things. Oh, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Because life has taught me, life has shown me that people will throw out expectations, will throw out challenges, will throw out all these things, but they don't meet it. And it's amazing to me that sometimes, and for not a lot of us, but a decent amount of us, maybe me sometimes, maybe you, I don't know, we throw that same expectation on God. Say, Lord, I'll believe it when I see it. And we might speak with faith. We're like, oh, I'm having a blessed day. Oh, but in our heart of hearts, I'll believe it when I see it. Because so many times I've been disappointed. So many times I've been let down. So many times my parents or my siblings or whoever, they promised me this, they promised me that, and they let me down. And then it becomes almost a self-defense mechanism where I don't want to be hurt again. God, I've called to you for this. God, I've called to you for that. I don't want to be hurt again. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not going to put my faith in that. I'm not going to put my trust in that. This morning, I want to talk to some people that are just having a hard time believing some days. Trusting in God. Trusting in Him and in His wisdom and in His understanding. And not just saying with our hearts, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, it's amazing to me that when tests and trials come into your life, when the rubber meets the road, where does your faith go? Where does your faith go? Are you so easily turned around? Are you so easily movered and wavered because you haven't built a firm foundation yet? You know, it's amazing to me. This word, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance. That word actually can be translated the substructure, the foundation. That word literally means faith is the foundation that we build our relationship with Christ on. Faith is everything. If you don't have a good foundation, you don't have a good home. You have to be looking at that foundation, because when life comes at you, when the walls start to shake and start to rock, how's your foundation? How's your faith? Do you trust in God, or do you trust in circumstances? Do you trust in this life more than you trust in His Word? What do you put your trust into? it's amazing to me that I truly believe, Satan's, I don't think he's an idiot. I think he knows if he can get to your faith, he could take you out. If he can get to your foundation, if he can start to erode from your foundation, he can take you out. I was watching this television show. I love home and garden television, HGTV. Anybody else? You know why? Because I don't have to be ashamed to watch it. I don't have to be like, oh, crap. Click, click, click. Like, there was boobies and stuff. Why is that there? You never have to worry about that with home and garden television, ever. So I watch it a lot. I'm one of my biggest heroes is this guy, and he looks like a Viking. He's amazing. He's huge. He always wears his, what's that thing called? Coveralls. He always wears coveralls and just like a little white shirt underneath. He's just like, oh man, he's everything I aspire to be. He's like short haircut, just like, his name is Mike Holmes. Anybody know who Mike Holmes is? Oh my gosh, that man's amazing. And he can fix anything. He knows everything. He's like Jesus for houses. He comes in, I'm the salvation for this house. I'm here to save it. And I was watching this particular episode, and it was so cool. He comes in, and these people, they just invested. It was like 10, 15, 20 grand, something crazy into their house, right? Actually, that's really not that much, is it? Oh, money. I hate money. I just spit it out. I'm like, that sounds like a lot. Like, you might be able to redo your bathroom if you don't want to change out your tub. Oh, man. Money's stupid. Trust God. And so... So Mike Holmes goes to this house, and they're going to put a lot of money into this house. And they put all this money in the house, but they didn't realize that the foundation was falling apart. The foundation was eroding away. And Mike Holmes comes in, and this is literally what he's doing with his finger. There's so much dry rot, he's just ripping away the foundation. He's just ripping away these massive, these headers and 2x8s and other stuff that's like wood stuff and different dimensions. The foundation. And he begins to dig away with it with his finger. And he looks at him and says, this is bad. This is really bad. They're like, I know. This is bad. Help me. And you see, the thing is, so many times we put so much value into this outward being. We put so much, how am I going to do my hair? And how am I going to fix up my clothes? What car am I driving? How does my house look? But really, on the inside, our faith, our foundation, the substance, the devil's beginning to chip away at it. He's beginning to destroy it. Because we're more focused on the top, the surface, than that firm foundation. And the devil, make no mistake, the devil knows what he's doing. That's what he's going for. Because if I can get the foundation, the rest of the house will fall down. If I go up and I just take out a couple of his friends, maybe that's a wall, wall's gone. That's cool, I'll put up another wall. Maybe if I break out a couple windows, that's cool, I'll replace the windows. Call Speedy Auto Glass, boom, boom, boom. There. New windows. But if I can get to their foundation, if I can chip away at their faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, hope is a stepping block to faith, I believe. And it's amazing to me that so many times we just let Satan come in and start chipping away at everything that we believe. And we just let him in. Come on in, dude. Come on in. Let you run rampant in my mind. Let's go. Do what you want. And he begins to just chip away at it. Just chip away. Because that's what he's going for. He's attacking your foundation. He's attacking the substructure. Because if he can get that, he's got you. He'll take you out. And once again, just to reiterate, faith is literally the foundation that we build our whole relationship with Christ on. It's everything. Faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting in God, not in what you see. That's what faith is. That's what he's going after. Because if I can get that, I got them. The other part of this, it says the faith is the substance of things hoped for with the evidence. With the evidence. So number one, he's going after your foundation. Number two, he's going after the evidence. He's trying to mess with the evidence. You know, in John 10:10, it refers to Satan, or as I like to call him, Fifi. Because Satan sounds too strong. Lucifer, Lucifi, Fifi. So I'm just going to call him Fifi. He gets up in my grill and be like, listen here, Fifi. And he'd be like, Fifi? That's right. No one likes you. Brick wall. Don't talk to me. So John 10:10 refers to Fifi, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever. Refers to him as a what? A thief. Refers to him as a thief. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the thief comes to do in your life. And what does a thief do when he comes in and burglarizes a house? He tries to obscure the evidence. He tries to mess with the evidence. Because if he can mess with your evidence, he can mess with your foundation. And if he can mess with your foundation, he can take you out. It's the evidence that tells the story. It's the evidence that ultimately tells the truth. And what is he coming after? He's coming after the evidence. Your mom, she'll never be healed. Your mom, she's doomed to die. Where's your God now? You have your word. It says this, but this is what the evidence says. This is what the doctor said. Don't let them mess with your evidence. Don't let them mess with your faith. Because that's what he's going for. He's trying to take your faith away from you. And it's amazing to me that we just let them do it. We just let them do it. Just come in, do what you want, tamper with the evidence, mess with it. Scratch everything out, get your little hanky, start wiping down all the fingerprints, start doing everything that you need to do so that you can obscure the truth. So that you can obscure the truth. You know, Satan, he's always, his number one goal is just to instill a little bit of doubt in you. Just a little bit. Because if he can just get that little seed of doubt in you, he can come in and just water it, make it grow. And that doubt becomes a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. It grieved my heart. I was watching this. I love watching documentaries. I love it. And I was watching this documentary called The Case for Faith. The Case for Faith. And it was talking about this man. He was actually Billy Graham's right-hand man. He was everything to Billy Graham. He helped him build his ministry. He traveled all throughout Europe with him. And all throughout the world, he traveled with him and was with him. And then he actually began a church somewhere in Canada and grew tremendously. Tremendously. Grew to 3,000, 4,000 in the congregation. Something astronomical like that. Just crazy, right? In that time. Now we got lots of mega churches. But in that time, it was crazy how big that church was. And so, this man, he goes out, and Satan knows the amount of power that this man has in the Christian community. So I truly believe he went after him, just like he goes after anybody. But all he had to do was instill just a little bit of doubt into him. If I could just instill a little bit of doubt into him, he'll have to question. All I got to do is mess with that evidence a little bit, and then there won't be a proper conviction. I just got obscured just a little bit. And that's what he did. And he put this little bit of doubt in him. And eventually it began just eat away at him and erode at him and take him and just begin to scratch away that foundation, the faith. Everything that we build, everything this relationship's on is all built on faith. It begins to tear at it and chip it away to the point where it actually took him out. And now he passed away a couple years ago. I hope to God that he eventually found the errors of his ways, but I don't know. But eventually it took him out. Why? Because Satan's coming after your foundation. Because Satan's coming after your evidence. Because if he could take that, he could take you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's everything he's trying to do. You know, it's funny to me. Faith is almost a catch-22, isn't it? Because faith has action. But action has to have faith. You have to have both. They go hand in hand. And it's amazing to me, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says this, that God has dealt to each of us a measure of faith. He's given you that. He's giving you that ammunition. He's giving you the tools. Here, start to build your house with me. Here's something to get you started. He gives to each of us a measure of faith. And then it says in Romans chapter 10 and 17, what does it say there? It says, how do we build our faith? By reading our word. By being with him. Because when you're with him, you know what the truth is. And somebody could come to you. Somebody could come to me. I've been with my wife. We've been together for about 10 years. I know, right? It's been amazing. I'm so thankful for my wife. And somebody could come to me and say, hey, Mike, I don't know how to tell you this, buddy, but Isabel's not real. I'm like, what? Yeah, bro. This is awkward. Yeah, dude, we just let you do that whole, like, you know, show for a long time, but yeah, there's nobody there. I've just been kissing air? Air's a good kisser. I'm just going to stay there for a second. Anyways, there's a good kisser. No, you can't tell me my wife doesn't exist. Why? Because I spent time with her. The evidence has been with her. I've been with her. I've spent time with her. It's the same way when you spend time in your word, when you spend time in your prayer closet, when you spend time serving, when you spend time just being at church with like-minded believers. Guess what? I got the evidence. I've been with him. It shows in my life. You can't tell me otherwise. You can't mess with my evidence because I built my foundation on my relationship with Christ. Not on man. Nothing else. And it's amazing to me that so many believers are taken out. Why? Because you let the devil come and mess with your evidence. Come and mess with your foundation. Make no mistake, none of us are safe. It's not I've arrived. It's a constant attack. It's a constant attack on your faith. Anytime something happens in your life and you pray over it and then it doesn't happen right away, doubt sets in immediately. Oh man, did I even hear God? Is God even real? Does God show himself evident in my life? Why? Because we're letting Satan mess with the most important thing. Our relationship with Christ. Just begin to chip at it. Still doubt. Still unbelief. You know, at the same time, in the same breath, I don't think we should be ignorant Christians. I think pain is real. I think hurting is real. I believe that God has given us emotions. I believe God has given those things to us. Can I be honest? Can I be candid with you for a second? It kind of irks me, kind of makes me feel bad when I go to a believer, and every time I go to them, I say, hey, how you doing? I'm blessed. But you know something's going wrong in their life. Why? Because they begin to put on a mask. Faith doesn't mean that you don't have hurts. Faith doesn't mean that you don't have pains. I actually just shared this with our young people. I say young people a lot, with our junior high and high schoolers. The story of Jesus. And it has the story where it has the shortest scripture in the Bible, and it says Jesus wept. And this whole story is based upon the death of Lazarus. And what did Jesus say at the very beginning of this? He's out with his buddies, we're having a good time. They're like, your friend, he's dying. And he says, he gives out the promise. He throws out the promise. And what's the promise? This will not end in death. This will not end in death. But what happens? The promise dies. It's taken out. Jesus, the promise is dead. If you were here, he wouldn't have died. The promise is gone. And Jesus, this is funny to me. He comes up to her and says, I'm going to raise him up. Well, he's been dead for a couple days. It's kind of stinky. We're just going to let him sit for a while, ferment. It's cool. It's dumb to me. I feel like we do that dumb thing with God sometimes. God gave me that promise. Well, it's been dead for a little bit. Trust in God and his plan. Trust in God. Because it's not in your timing doesn't mean it's not in the right timing. Amen? But my whole point with that was what? Jesus knew the end result, but he still felt the pain. Isn't that amazing? That's the Savior that we serve. That's the Lord that we serve. Is that he's not some God up there, and like, oh, a bunch of idiots. Listen to me, we'll get there when we get there, you know? Just shut up! Trust in me! No, what does he do? He weeps with them. He feels their pain. He feels your pain. Just because the faith is there doesn't mean the emotions, the feelings aren't. What does it say? Jesus wept. But what happened? Exactly what he said. It didn't end in death. Jesus, he's dead. I know. It's not going to end. It's not over. It's not done. Don't let that trip up your faith. Because guess what, people, congregation, my family, hear me now. We have the ultimate cheat code. We have the ultimate cheat code. What is that? You die and you still win. It's amazing. People are like, oh man, she's dead. She won. Oh my God. You're real. You're there. It's amazing. Trust in God and his promise. I love the story of Abraham. Abraham, oh man, I love Abraham. I was reading it, I'm just chewing on it. And one day, because, you know, how many of us can't see the forest through the tree sometimes? Anybody? Nobody? Me? Just me? All right, just me. It's amazing to me, I'm reading it, I'm like, man, God has given Abraham, at that time Abram, he's given him so much favor. Why? Why is he giving him so much favor? What's different between Abraham and me? I want jet skis! Give me favor, Lord! I want to go jet skiing. And so I bring it to Pastor, because I can't see the forest of the trees, and he's amazing. He says it with, oh, well, this is what I believe. Not, you're dumb. You're dumb. What does he say to me? He says, it's because he was faithful. It's because he was faithful. Anytime when God's holding him to go somewhere, guess what he did? He went. He went. He went and he went and he went. But there was one time, and it was the biggest promise that God gave him. What was it? It was the Abrahamic covenant. Abrahamic promise. What was it? Oh, you don't have to tell me. I know. I prepped. This is what it is. What is it? He says to him, Abraham says to God, God, you give me all these things, but the one thing that I want, God knows your desires, by the way. God knows your heart. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what, just guess what? He's probably placed them there. And he's going to be faithful to see you through it. And he says, God, you promised me all these things, but I'm old. I'm dying. And I don't even have a kid. The one thing I want. The one thing you said. Lord, you said, if I could do this, if I could just have a kid. And when he's saying this, he's actually inside of the tent, right? And so many times we're in our own little world, and we're like, God, where are you? But then God calls him out of the tent and says, look up. I believe God's calling some of you out of your tent to say, just look at the promise I've given you. Change your perspective just a little bit. Look what I have given you. Look what I've placed in you. He says, step out, look up. Oh my God, they're so pretty. He says, look up. You see, can you even count the stars? 1, 2, 3. No, I can't. There's a lot. You have more descendants than that. But then what? That's the promise. God's given him the promise. He's told him this is what's going to happen. But then he looks at the natural. Lord, I'm old. I'm old. I am dying. How am I supposed to? I don't have a kid. He says, I'm going to give you a kid. I'm going to give you that promise. And so just like many of us, we get that promise. We're holding on to that promise. Yes, God's faithful. This is what everything I'm doing. I haven't seen it, but I've seen it far off in a distance. I'm going to go for it. I feel it. I'm going to do it. And then what do? We try to do it in our own capacity. What does Abraham do? He knows the promise that God's given him. All right, this is the promise that God's given me. I need to go have a kid. And so what does he do? He takes the promise and he perverts it. The promise that God's laid on his heart, he takes it and he's trying to do it in his own capacity. And what does he have? He has Ishmael. When he should have had Isaac. I'm going to throw this out here, and I'm throwing it out in love. I believe in the body of Christ, we got a bunch of Ishmaels running around, not a lot of Isaacs. You can laugh. It wasn't meant to be funny, but inspiring. We got a bunch of Ishmaels running around when we should have a bunch of Isaacs. Why? Because we're trying to do something that God's promised in us, God's given to us in our own capacity. Why? Because we don't trust Him fully. We don't truly trust Him. Say, yeah, God, your word's so good. I love these songs. I love this worship. I love everything. But I need the kid. I need the promise. So we got a bunch of Ishmaels running around. We should have a lot of Isaacs running around. But what does God do? He's still faithful, even when we're dumb and mess up and pervert the promise. What does He do? He still gives him Isaac. He still gives him the son that's going to be the father of the 12 tribes. He gives it to him. Why? Because God is faithful. God has a better timing than we do. And what do we need to do? We just need to stay planted, firm. Have that foundation of faith and not let the enemy come in and begin to instill doubt and unbelief. Jesus is amazing. The stories in the Bible are just amazing. Every amazing story in the Bible, how does it start? With faith. Even with Joshua at the walls of Jericho, I don't know about you guys, if God told me to walk around this building 7 times, blow a trumpet and stuff, so that we can have 100 kids in youth ministry, I'd be like, I don't think that's God. Is that you, Daniel? Are you messing with me? Where you at? Where you at? But what? It starts with faith. Just going out on a ledge. Just going out on a ledge and saying, Lord, I don't know. But you do. And what does it say in Hebrews chapter 11? It says, it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. Why? Because you don't trust Him. How can you please God if you don't even trust Him, if you don't believe Him, if you don't believe His Word? How can you please Him? Man, I don't have any kids, but I got some young people in my youth ministry. Have you ever tried to tell your kids something? And you say, this is better for you. And they're like, oh, I'm going to do this instead. Oh my God, this didn't work. Mom, that didn't work. So many times we do that with God. All right, I got the promise. I'm going to go over here now. Do my own thing. Oh no, it failed. Oh well, God, where were you? Where were you? I did this in your name. you're dumb. Faith has actions. Faith has actions. I was so encouraged by Norma's testimony this last Wednesday. I was so encouraged. She talked about this man in her neighborhood that didn't necessarily like her. Well, at least she felt like they didn't like them as a family. And so, see, this is hope versus faith. She could have said, "Man, I hope they like me. Man, I hope that they'll one day like me." Well, what did she do? I'll tell you what she did. She made cupcakes. Oh, cupcakes. And she brought it over to their house. Why? Because hope is one thing. Faith is another. Oh, my God. He's amazing. And what happened? God was faithful. God was faithful. But now what happened if they would have slammed the door in her face? Actually, yeah. Slammed it in her faith. What would have happened to her? Would her testimony be any different? Would her trust in God be any different? It should never change. Why? Because His love never changes. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about His love. It's all about His goodness and His grace and His mercy and His passion and everything that Jesus is. Why? That's what it's all about. That's why I'm up here. That's why I'm preaching. That's why I dedicate the majority of my life to serving the kingdom of God. When I tell people my schedule, when they don't go to church, they're generally, and not to boast of myself at all, that's not what I'm trying to do. They don't get it. You go to church how many times a week? Baby, I live there. I'm there. And that's why I truly believe that God gave me the house that I have now. It's actually like a block down the road. Because He knew, and He was faithful to what He knew He was going to call me to do. He's faithful. And so now I don't have to drive from Graham or Roy or anywhere. I just drive down. Because you know why? Because God's faithful. And He knew this is going to be a better spot for you. I got a lot of plans in store for you. This is to help you. This is to help you. God's so faithful. If I can get Tammy to come back up, that'd be amazing. Man, God's good. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it says this: "All these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they didn't receive the promise." God having provided something better for us. You know, he talks a little bit before that these all died in faith, and he goes through all these different stories throughout the Bible. These all died in faith. How can you die in faith? God, this is the promise that you get. How is the promise going to die? Because we shouldn't look to the promise, we should look to the promiser. Because promises will die. You know, eventually we're all, you know, I'm not trying to be morbid, we're all going to pass away. But that's not what it's really about, is it? What it's about is a love for the Father. Man, God's amazing. I'm going to be closing on this. It's bar none the most amazing, epic, huge, life-changing story. It's in Luke chapter 23. And it's the story of Jesus. It's the story of God dying on a cross. And there, hanging with him, one to his right, one to his left, two men were hanging there with him. And Jesus, literally being crucified on a tree that he created, that he formed, being crucified by mere man, by mere human, dying, taking on, bearing all mankind's sin, everything that we've done, all of our iniquities, all of our sins, everywhere we fell short, he bore it. And here's the man, perfect, in the middle, in the center, in the middle of everything. what is this? What happens? One man to the right, one man to the left. A man to his right, who's encountering Jesus, he's being crucified next to Jesus, says, if you are God, if you are who you say you are, if, in other words, prove it. If you're truly God, and it says right before that, it says he blasphemed God. Why? Because if you come to God and you utter the words, if, that's blasphemy. The creators of the heavens and the universe and everything that you encounter now, and you have the audacity, just being honest, and you come to him and you say, if, how ignorant we are. How ignorant we are as a human race. God, if you truly are God, if you truly are who you say you are, prove it. Save yourself and save me. Then I will believe. Let me tell you right now, that is not faith. That is not truth. That is an expectation. God, if you're truly who you say you are, I'll believe, I'll give you my life if you do this. Can I just say, God is not somebody to be negotiated with. God will give you this part of my life and this part of my life, but I'm going to keep this part and this part, but you got to give me this. He comes to him and says, if you are who you say you are, if you truly are God, if you truly are the Messiah, then save yourself, save me, if you are. There's no trust, no belief. His evidence is on the seen and not on the unseen. And then the man to the other side cries out, do you not even fear God? Do you not even fear God? Are you that far off? This man, he has done nothing wrong. He is being crucified for nothing. And then he looks over to Jesus. And he says this, Lord Jesus, remember me. Remember me, Jesus. And then Jesus, God, help me, Jesus. Then Jesus replies to him. Oh, man. You got to remember where Jesus is at right now. He's having a really bad day. To say the least. He's having a really bad day. But he takes some time and he looks over to this man that called out his name. Make no mistake, when you call out on the name of Jesus, when you call out on him, he will respond. Man, Jesus is good. Jesus is good. He says, Jesus, please remember me. What is that? That is faith. Not trusting on the seen, but trusting in the unseen. Because in the natural, he looks pretty defeated. In the natural, he looks like he's down and out. He's about to die. But he puts his trust into him because he doesn't trust. Promise to trust in Jesus. He trusts in him. If you trust in him, man, you'll be in paradise. He says, assuredly, without a doubt, you will be today, because God deals with you today. God deals with right now. He says, assuredly, today, God is good. He says, you will be with me in paradise. This morning, my message is simple. I got a bunch of words and some scriptures highlighted. But what is it all about? Trust in him. Trust in the promiser. Why? Because it's all we got. It's all we have. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is consistent. And even when we fall so short, He is faithful. He's good. God is good. If you guys would be so kind as to stand up with me as we begin to close. This morning, I truly believe that this message, I don't believe God just gives me messages to build myself up. He does through it. But I truly believe that He gives me words for the congregation that I'm preaching to. He's given me insight so that you can take it and you can run with it. I truly believe that. And I don't believe this was just some message that I needed to prepare for a Sunday morning. I believe this was anointed and appointed by God for this body right now. Why? Because God's faithful. He gives you the exact word that you need when you need it. He gives you exactly what you need when you need it. He's so good. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Lord Jesus, we thank You for this morning. We thank You, Father, for this building that we can get together as a family, Lord. As the body of Christ, as Your body, Lord. That we can come together, Lord, strengthen each other. Lord, I thank You so much for the church. I thank You, Father, for this church. I praise You, Jesus, for Your faithfulness, Father. But Lord, that You know best, and You put a lot of emphasis on Your church. I thank You, Jesus. And this word didn't fall on deaf ears. This word didn't fall on bad ground, Jesus, but it fell on good soil, Lord. Lord, change us. Change us from the inside out, Jesus. Change us, Lord. Lord, we don't want to do this unless You're with us. This morning, if I talk to you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never said that prayer, I say, Lord, You're in charge. Take it all, Lord. It's all for You, Jesus. If you've never said that prayer, or you've said that prayer time and time again, but right now, He's not the Lord of your life. He's not your Savior. This morning, I want to pray with you. Make no mistake. This is the most important decision you will ever make. Making Jesus the Savior of your life. Making Him the Lord of your life. It is the most crucial decision you will ever make. This is how much I believe in it. Don't go to work tomorrow. Don't go to school tomorrow. Don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to your wife. Don't talk to your husband. Don't do anything until your life is right with God. Why? Because that is the most important thing. That we have a firm foundation on faith, believing in Jesus. Believing in Him. Saying, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but Father, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, You are faithful. Jesus, You're faithful, Lord. This morning, I want to pray with some people, and I believe there's some people out here that you've either said the prayer or you've never said the prayer and made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Right now, I want you to come up front. I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here this morning that needs to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Whether you've said it 1,000 times, but He's not the Lord and Savior of your life right now, or whether you've never said that prayer before, listen to me right now. It is the most important decision you will ever make. Jesus wants to encounter you now. Jesus wants to know you now. And I know I'm going a little bit over, but this is important. There's anybody here this morning that just needs, Lord, I need You to be my God. Is there anybody at all? I want to give that opportunity. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Is there anybody else here at all this morning that needs to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Man, God is good. God is good. You know, it's amazing. Your testimony, it touched me. When you came up here and just began to worship God at His feet, it was amazing. Jesus is going to bless that. He's going to bless that. Do you believe that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else here at all this morning? I always want to give this opportunity. God is so good. God is so good. And then finally, I want to pray with some people that this message touched your heart. So, Lord, I've been struggling. There's been some things in my life that I've had doubt and unbelief in. I want to pray over you a prayer of strength. It says in the Word, come to me all who are weary and heavy loaded, and I will give you rest. If there's anybody here this morning that just needs some rest, come on up front. I want to pray with you. I know I'm young. I know I'm a young guy, but I believe that Jesus is here, not me. And I believe Jesus wants to encounter you this morning. God wants to give you rest. God wants to give you peace. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. God is faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We're just going to end in a matter of moments, I promise. I promise. Just a matter of moments. If you guys would be so kind, many of you are my mentors, people that I've looked up to. Right now, as I begin to pray over these people, if you guys can do me a solid, if you guys can be so faithful, is begin to pray. Why? Because there's power in prayer. Lunch can wait. Your activity for afternoon can wait. But Jesus, Jesus is now. Jesus is for today. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on. A thousand times that I failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, well, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. Instead of losing myself in bringing you praise, everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
soul. I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending. Your glory goes beyond all things. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, everlasting. Your light will shine.
Guys, we're singing it out to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul.
Come on, body, let's sing it out to Jesus.
Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond.
I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love, Jesus. Lord, you are faithful. You are faithful. As these young men and women, as these people go out, Father, I thank you, Jesus. I proclaim right now that we are the salts of the earth, we are the lights of the world, and we go out and people will not be able to say, oh, there's something different. That we go out and people can't help but notice there's something different. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that we are a mighty army for you, Jesus. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for all of this, Jesus.
I thank you. In your mighty name, amen and amen. I'm sorry we went a little bit over. I love you guys.